the red flags when you open a restaurant that are out of the way are, what about foot traffic? There's zero. You don't accidentally come here. You don't ever end up at the end of the cul-de-sac down by the runway and you're like, well, if there's a restaurant here, I'm not going to it.
Hello and welcome to You Know The Place, the show that explores all the local businesses, shops, clubs, and pubs that you always pass by, but you never seem to visit. I'm Joel Wayne, and this is my co-host, Lacey L.D. Daly.
Hi there.
Hi.
It is, what are we, 4 weeks into the season now?
Yeah, four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Full disclosure, we're still actually producing season three as you're listening to
it. Yeah, we've got a couple episodes left, right, that we need to get it done.
We've got a couple episodes, but a crap ton of ideas.
Yes.
And so some housekeeping maybe at the top of this episode. We need your help.
Oh, yeah. I like this. Go for it.
Are you
on
board?
How do we need their help?
Well,
yeah.
I was thinking, you know, we haven't really finalized our final place or one of the final places,
mm-hmm.
And we have such a growing list. What if we kicked it to listeners and gave them like a poll where they could vote?
Some options.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I mean, we wouldn't have to be super specific because our worry always is, you know, a lot of these places we're popping in on.
Right.
And what if somebody tells us to leave and then we can't do that? And that was the one they really wanted. But what if we just give them kind of ideas of places of business?
Like, so we've been talking, right, we've been talking about going to a restaurant.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. A restaurant could
because
be one.
Because we've done very, very little in the way of food.
Yes.
So far. And then maybe something experiential, like...
Yeah, like hypnosis,
yeah,
or psychic
reading
or something like that.
Yeah, because we've been wanting to do that.
Yeah, that's been on the list. And what about a third one? Oh, a cobbler.
A cobbler, that's right.
Yeah.
Not pie, by the way.
No, yeah, not...
A shoe cobbler.
Yeah, somebody who repairs shoes.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think?
I like that. I think that's a good idea.
How do we do this?
Well, we can do it on social media, I think. So via Instagram and Facebook, we'll get that going. We'll get a poll going, right? Or a couple polls going.
Let's do it right now.
Yeah.
Let's take a vote.
So you guys need to, you know, weigh in. Let us know where we should go.
Yeah, and even if it's just seven of you, well, hey, your voice will be heard.
Exactly.
Okay, so yeah, check out our Facebook and Instagram. We're at You Know The Place on both of those.
Yeah.
We'll put up a poll and vote for either a restaurant, a psychic or mind reading experience, or a cobbler, a shoe fixer. Okay.
All right, good.
Thanks.
Should we get into it this week then?
Yeah.
What do we got?
What is going on? I am going to make a nomination today.
Cool. Yes.
And I suggest we go to Nampa. But I have to admit that I'm borrowing a nomination that was sent to us by a listener.
Good. I like that.
Yeah. Zach Marble, he reached out to us via our site and suggested this. He said, I spend my days going in and out of a lot of restaurants. One worth looking into would be the Tower Grill, which is located at the Nampa Airport. Not only is the food delicious, but the environment is awesome, too. Check out Nate and his crew. That kind of rhymes. Way to go, Zach. Okay, this stuck out to me for many reasons. I didn't know there was an airport in Nampa. So obviously, I'm like fact-checking him, like,
Is this
Nampa?
Right?
Yeah, Nampa Airport. What? So obviously, I want to go there. It does exist, as I'm sure most of you listening know. Sorry again. So I want to go.
And between you and I, we've talked about how we really have not done restaurants before.
Mainly because I don't know if people want to listen to us eat.
Yeah.
But right. I mean, the idea being, yeah, of course we want to be able to vouch for the food, but get to know the owners or the business itself.
Yeah. It seems like a whole sector that we need to kind of, I mean, it's weird to not go there in the same way that we hadn't. We always said pubs and we'd never been to a pub before we went to Little Dutch Garden. So.
And then people listen to us drink beers.
All right. So then what is your central concern about this place?
I guess I'm really curious to know how a business fares in an airport that not everybody knows exists.
Yeah.
Who uses the Nampa Airport, first of all?
Sure.
Therefore, who's frequenting this restaurant? And do people come just to the restaurant? Can we go to the restaurant? Do we have to go through security?
Oh, you mean do we need to buy like a ticket to Spokane? You know, if it's a $39 ticket, then maybe we'll do it. You can go. We can only budget for you to go. I'll be on the other side of security.
It's probably something that I should clarify with them before we go.
Yeah.
You excited?
Yeah, I think
you hungry?
That's kind of a fun idea. Yeah.
So do you want to go for brunch on Saturday?
Sure.
Maybe make a trip out to Nampa.
Get a flight of orange juice?
Yes, but I'm not done
Oh, go on. Yes.
I want to make another nomination.
Oh, okay. All right.
Can
this
I do that?
This is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So Double Decker Espresso is what I'm nominating within this nomination. It is what it sounds like. A double decker bus painted red, just like you see in England, that serves espresso. I cannot confirm that they drive while you drink it, but it seems like they are mobile and that they move around. And it seems to be run by a family maybe in Caldwell, Nampa. But again, the bus goes all over the place. And it's funny, their story on their Facebook page is, one of us loves coffee, one of us hates it. Never been to England, never driven a bus on the wrong side of the road, but somehow it just all made sense. Let's have a double-decker coffee bus. And I was like, well, how am I going to know where to go?
Yeah.
So I went on their Instagram, and it seems like each week they post the locations that they'll be at. And ding, 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 Saturday in Nampa, they'll be at the Fred Meyer from 11 to 6.
Well, I like that. Then it's a little twofer.
Yeah.
And then it's both things that we consume, I guess.
Coffee and brunch.
Coffee and some brunch.
You down?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay.
Road trip.
To the Toosie. Okay.
Should we take a break and then head out?
Yeah.
Joel, what do a flat roof, a lot of natural light, and an affordable price tag all have in common?
They're all features of a mid-century home.
Wow, good guess.
Well, I do live in one.
Okay, but did you know there's a local business that specializes in selling, renovating, and restoring those perfect mid-bod homes in the Boise area?
I did not know that.
It's true. Mid-Century Homes by Moniker Real Estate is the local connection to those affordable and stylish flat-roofed ramblers built in the 50s and 60s.
Neato. So if our listeners want to learn more about Mid-Century Homes?
I tell them to go visit mid-centuryhomes.com and make sure to mention that You Know the Place sent you.
I like it.
All right, we just pulled in
to
the Nampa Fred Meyer parking lot, and we are admiring from afar Double Decker Espresso, which I did not realize. Look at that cute little logo. It's a graphic of a double decker bus, but the buses, they have handles on them.
Yeah, like, little like
coffee
mugs. Yeah, little mugs.
Do they have a generator? I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it looks like, actually, it looks like they're kind of working on it in the back there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
I also don't think that I, when I nominated this place,
what's that?
I don't think that I had a central concern.
Oh, well, what you got?
Why?
You know what? I like that. That's good.
I mean, to me, it seems fun, like an adventurous sort of business plan, but probably not entirely lucrative, especially maybe after it loses some of its appeal.
Right.
Its newness.
Well, and then is it more expensive to operate than, say, you know, a food truck or one of those little coffee stands or something like that?
That's a good point. I didn't really think of it in terms of, like, a food truck.
Yeah.
So it's not that strange, but...
It's not that strange, but it is a double-decker bus, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's different.
Yeah.
And is that the thing, is that it stands out, you know?
And quite frankly, if the reason why is because it's fun, like, I admire that, because I'm not that kind of person.
Sure.
You and I are too logical to ever do anything like that.
Yeah, well,
especially when
we're
it comes
a little
to money.
Bit risk-averse, I think, yeah.
It's funny that we're doing this podcast.
Yeah. Well, it has to do with money with us.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Should we go get a cup of Joe? Confession, I've had 2 cups already, so I might be highly caffeinated by the time we make it to brunch.
Confession, I have too.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
But I did it anyway. So.
Sorry to anybody listening.
We hop on the bus and wait to order some coffee. The counter is down at the back end of the bus, and we're standing by the driver's seat, which is on the opposite side. We hang out for a bit before chatting with the family ahead of us, who just came down from upstairs to order some coffee.
Is this your first time?
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen it. Like, I saw them, I think, probably when they first came into town driving down the freeway. And I thought it was the coolest looking thing. And so we were coming down here and saw it, so we stopped it.
Oh, so you didn't even know it would be here?
No, But when we were coming up over the overpass, I was like, that right there is what I was telling you about the other day.
How were the cinnamon rolls, guys?
They were really good.
Really good, yeah.
So good.
Is it maple?
I don't know, but I know that it wasn't
maple spice frosting.
The cream cheese.
That's what it was.
They were so good.
It wasn't as sweet as the normal ones, so it was delightful.
But they are very good.
Yeah, if we're not careful, we'll have to have a cinnamon roll bus. We have people coming just for the cinnamon rolls.
Oh.
They're really good.
In case you didn't catch that, it's one of the owners in the background saying, if we're not careful, we'll have to open a cinnamon roll bus. We have people coming in just for the cinnamon rolls now. We get to the front of the line and chat with Dustin and Angie, the husband-wife owners, about how this odd endeavor got its start.
We saw the idea for it on the internet and thought, ooh, that looks really, really fun. We should be able to... we could do that, right? Yeah. The guy who can do anything, we can convert a bus. So his love of coffee said, let's do this. And I'm going, he seems a little crazy. He's like, no, people will think it'll be fun. A little crazy. Okay, so we thought.
By the way, she doesn't like coffee, so convincing her to do a coffee shop was a fun task.
Yeah. Love hot chocolate. So yeah, so we started kind of searching around, found a guy that had a connection in England, and so he said he could get us a bus shipped over and we could do the conversion part ourselves and save a lot of money doing that versus buying an existing one. So we said, let's do it.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so we picked it up in September and we opened officially the day after Christmas.
Wow.
That was our first official ready for public. And so it's just been a big learning curve ever since, like where, how, when, all that stuff, but really good response from people. As you might imagine, it's a pretty fun, unique thing that people are pretty drawn to. Little kids and big kids.
Yeah.
Like some big guy kids, like, this is so cool.
Oh, I bet.
So that makes it pretty fun. And he roasts his own beans, so we actually care about the product. He's trying to actually have good coffee.
Then I want your recommendation.
Well, my favorite is just our Americano. That's what I get is Americano.
I'm a straight up coffee guy.
I'll do the same thing. Yeah. And let's go ahead and get a cinnamon roll, too.
Okay. Okay, 8:48.
Oh, you're going to buy me coffee?
Yeah, you bet. You're going to buy me brunch.
Yes, you're right.
Uh-oh, he might be getting the better end of the deal there.
We order our coffee and a cinnamon roll and head upstairs to the seating area to eat, drink, and chat. Dustin comes up to deliver our coffee and talks with us a bit.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. Oops, that was yours.
Can I ask you one question before you go? I know you're so busy.
No, you're fine. Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, what is your reasoning?
My whole actually reason behind it was because I'm always looking for fun family businesses. And usually my kids are in here with us, or one or two of my kids are in here.
Yeah.
But they're all homesick right now.
Oh, wow.
So it's my wife and I today. But yeah, it's just a fun family business. It started off just going to roast coffee and have my kids and my wife and me just kind of on the side sell to small coffee shops around the area. But then it kind of evolved into, wouldn't it be fun if we bought a double-decker bus?
Is it still fun?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine. Really
fun. I own a sprinkler business. Well, I just sold it, but I own a sprinkler business. And by the end of the year, I was feeling pretty old. So I was like, there's got to be something else we can do.
You haven't done like a food truck or anything like that then before?
Not a food truck, just a restaurant that we had before, yeah.
Wow.
My wife has always wanted to do a food truck, and I've never wanted to do a food truck. But
now
here we are
bus.
With the coffee truck. Yeah, exactly.
Such a cool idea. Yeah.
So you drive this thing?
Yeah. At first, it was really intimidating, pretty scary. But
yeah, it's got to be incredibly top heavy, which would terrify me.
Yeah, the wind seems to push me around pretty easy. It's all right now. And the snow, it's still pretty hard. It does fine until I come to a stop. I have to make sure I'm going pretty slow.
Right.
We let Dustin get back to his espresso station, and then LD describes the layout of the bus.
When you walk in downstairs, it's kind of crowded because there's got to be a room for the driver's seat so people can actually drive the bus. And then the bottom half is the kitchen.
It's narrow, right? Like it's almost more like a galley kitchen or something like
that. And so I wasn't expecting as much space upstairs because I talked about this when we went to Roots. I have a hard time just imagining things and the potential. We can walk upstairs, up top, to the upper level, and first of all, it's freaking adorable.
Yeah,
it's got a nice color scheme going.
Our teal and brown.
Gold, almost.
Gold, yeah.
Which almost ties into kind of the upholstery. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 separate little booths that comfortably fit two, could also fit four, and then there's a little bar with bar stools. You know, I do enjoy the concept that there's some place to eat or drink your stuff. And I think more food trucks should consider going double-decker route.
Yeah.
Because are you ever faced with that sort of predicament where you order like...
And you're sitting on a curb somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're wearing a dress and you can't sit on the curb. So you're just like trying to eat it. Your partner's holding
it.
You're taking
a bite.
Yes.
Yeah.
We finish our cinnamon roll, thank Angie and Dustin for their time, and head out to the car to debrief.
Well, that's cute.
Yeah, it was really cute.
And it is actually warmer upstairs for sure. I don't think you'd necessarily have to have a coat on or anything.
There were so many things that I think I could have asked, but they are so busy. And
yeah.
The place is not really set up for us to just be posted up.
Yeah, on the side or something like that. Which is fine. Like, I mean, I think gives us a little bit of flavor of it. And I absolutely, you know, next time that they were over my way or if I was passing by them, even if we were headed out of town and they were here,
yeah,
I would totally stop by.
Totally.
Yeah.
What it did for me when you kind of made that connection, like kind of like a food truck, just it as a business and being sustainable. I don't think I've ever really given food trucks much thought other than hurry up and get me my food.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different business model.
I love to. I'm always so impressed with people who are like, you know, we don't really know what we're doing, but we just did it, you know, and it's like, wow, awesome. Good for you. And maybe...
That's like us in this podcast.
It is kind of like us in this podcast. Yeah. Difference being that we really just, you know, we didn't have to probably dip into our 401k
like some
of these people
not quite.
Maybe have done.
No, I think it's cool. So. I would be terrified to drive it.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. Top heavy.
Yeah, and the wind, anytime there's wind or anything like that. Yeah.
But very cool.
Yeah.
Well,
should we go have brunch?
You still hungry after that cinnamon roll?
Yeah, I could still
you need some
do
eggs,
some salty.
Some meat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's head over then.
All right.
We just pulled up to the Tower Grill, and I was doubting my Google Maps as it was bringing me here. We turned off kind of towards the Nampa Airport, which again, did not realize was a thing. And there's just big warehouses and open fields, and it's like, there's no way there's a restaurant
here. We were seeing planes or like airstrips and stuff, but you would be forgiven for being like, this is not the right road, because the terminal, it's not like a regular, I mean, it's a little two-story like stucco.
Wait, this is a terminal? This is where people fly
out of?
That's
a terminal, yeah.
What?
We'll take some pictures for sure. It's meager.
So wait, do you have to have like a private plane to fly out of here?
I think it's probably mostly stuff like that, private planes and then charter, I would guess.
So I afford to eat
like
at this restaurant is what I'm wondering.
I mean, based upon the cars in the parking
lot. There's a lot of Toyotas.
Yeah. Well, no, there's a Ford Ranger. It's okay. No, I think it's going to be fine.
Interesting.
Yeah, right?
I didn't realize that was... So that's how you get out onto the plane.
Yeah. And there's a gate that says pilot access.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really makes you rethink airports, doesn't it?
No. This one, again, like, doesn't really think... It doesn't occur to me as an airport.
Yeah.
I hope a plane takes off.
There's some people getting into like a Cessna right over there, actually. We might even see them taking off. Oh, they just started the prop. See it?
I would not fly in one of those. It is
We hop
snowing.
Out to try and see if we can catch the plane taking off, but it taxis down the way and we're too cold to wait around, so we decide to head into the terminal. Then we head upstairs to find a table at the grill, which is absolutely buzzing with customers.
You have a look on
your
face.
What are your thoughts?
What? It's a diner. It's a very, very bright diner because it's all windows. We're on the second floor here, and it overlooks the runway.
Yeah.
And the mountains.
Yeah.
It's kind of exciting.
It is, but then you're like, wait, what's so exciting? Like, we're just...
I don't know.
We're hoping a plane will take off.
Yeah, and at the same time, I don't know how many planes are taking off.
Yeah.
Which maybe we need to ask.
Yeah.
We luck out because the owner, Nate, is in the restaurant today. He sits down with us and tells us a bit about himself and the story of the grill.
First of all, how long has Tower Grill been around?
The Tower Grill has been here since we opened October of 2016.
Okay.
There's been a restaurant up here for the last 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
But it's just kind of, it's changed hands a couple times and we remodeled it quite a bit.
To me,
it needed to be updated.
Yeah.
And so it's always kind of just been a pilot's lounge and more focused on catering to the people that are here at the airport.
Right.
And I've grown up with airplanes. My dad's a pilot. I'm going through pilot training now. But I grew up going to little airport restaurants, and almost every town has a cool little local airport, and almost every local airport has a restaurant. Just most people that didn't grow up in aviation don't know that. And so that's my background is restaurant industry. And so as a friend of the house, manager, bartender, server, and so I was like, man, I think if we could really polish it up a little bit and highlight kind of the magic of a small town airport that most people don't get to experience. You know, we used to bring our kids here when it was a different restaurant so they could come watch airplanes, and they loved it. So I was like, man, I think there are more people that would like this.
So are you getting, do you feel like you're getting more people than who
oh, absolutely.
It's a destination to actually just come
yeah.
to the grill?
So I'd say before it was probably 60 or 70% pilots as far as business goes, and I bet we're like 80-20 now, not pilots,
wow.
to
okay.
pilots.
Yeah.
So it's shifted quite.
That's cool. And then it just kind of creates a curiosity and wonder and exposure to this side of
yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
The business.
I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of unknowns about, you know, like, can you even become a pilot as a regular person and
yeah.
airports in general? And I think that's kind of, unfortunately, I think it's a dying thing. And to me, it's now it's becoming this, like, dual purpose of we want to provide a really unique atmosphere, obviously great food, good service. But to me now, it's like furthering the cause of even general aviation is important to me because I think it's such a cool thing. You can spend, and it's a little expensive, but people spend way more money on things that, you know, you can't do anything with. It costs between $5,000 and $7,000 to get your private pilot's license, which isn't that much. That's including fuel, renting the plane, lessons, and everything. And so some people have it on a bucket list, and they're just afraid to even ask about it. And we don't make any money or do anything for that, but it's, to me, seeing people come up here after their first discovery flight or just even watching a little kid see an airplane that close and go, I want to do this for a living, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. It becomes attainable, and there is something about, you know, just watching little planes come in and out. It's not this giant, crowded, huge mass transit airport. It's people
totally.
Flying for fun.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought it's automatic entertainment. It's
yeah.
it's a, you know, it makes the extra bonus to the location. This place, the, you know, the red flags when you open a restaurant that are out of the way are, what about foot traffic? There's zero. You don't accidentally come here.
Yeah.
Ever.
Very even
you either fly here on
yeah.
purpose,
yeah.
you planned your trip ahead of time, or someone says you have to go eat at that place. You don't ever end up at the end of the cul-de-sac down by the runway and you're like, well, if there's a restaurant here, I'm not going to it.
Yeah.
Not what you think it is.
So, and talking about the logistics of that, because I made a call just to make sure, because when I think airport, I think terminals and security. So how does one get out there then?
If you're a pilot, you know the code. So there's kind of a secret code on the gate that says use the ELF, it's the emergency transmission frequency that all pilots know if they have a problem. You turn that beacon on and it transmits at a certain number and people can come find your airplane using radar and radio location.
So do only pilots fly, or do like people have a private pilot fly them places?
Oh sure, absolutely, all the time. So there are some charter flights out of here. You can book what's called a discovery flight through the App Center, which is the business that operates downstairs. It's $50 to go up for a half an hour with a flight instructor and just fly around. They let you fly the plane, and you get to, yeah, well, they're with you. It's their job. It's really not as scary as you think. And really, it either turns into this, like, oh my gosh, it's the most incredible thing ever, or meh, I don't love that.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
And it really is one or the other.
The taste test.
It really is really fun. It's a good intro, and again, $50, I've spent that on, you know, a couple beers and appetizers at a place, so to go have a half an hour experience.
Yeah.
That's how you get through the gate. Hop in a plane with an instructor and try it.
But are people, like, wealthy people flying planes from here to, like, Sun Valley?
Oh, and the joke is that most pilots are not wealthy people because they're pilots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good
So
way.
As long as there's enough money for gas in the plane, that's, yes. So there are realistically several different types of demographics as far as pilots go. There's, I mean, looking out the window right now, I can see a $150,000 airplane and I can see a $20,000 airplane.
A friend of mine, four of us flew out of the Caldwell Airport.
Yeah.
Caldwell
and went
has
to,
an airport?
Yeah,
yeah,
I flew there yesterday myself, by myself, alone in an airplane for the first time.
Congrats.
It was horrifying.
Yeah.
Anyway, six whole miles.
You made it.
And we went to, we just went to Crouch.
Yeah.
To the grass.
Uh-huh. Which is the
landing,
grass strip.
Landing strip, yeah. And he told us, too, he said it's pretty common for there to be, you know, a place like that which really doesn't, you know, it's even less less frequented, but there's not staff really on hand or anything like that.
Right.
He said it's pretty common for them to have, like, almost like a loaner vehicle there.
Yeah, it's like a courtesy car. And
courtesy car to get into
they're
town.
They're kind of fun.
Yeah. With
they're
the,
sketchy.
Yeah, with the keys just
yeah.
up underneath.
Anywhere,
the...
it's a car that nobody would want to steal. Kind of thing. Like, we have, like, an 89 Ford Topaz, I think, out there that has keys somewhere.
Oh.
And if you can start it, you can drive it. Like, it's fine. don't steal it.
Yeah.
Just don't. Yeah, most airports have a courtesy car.
That's funny.
Nate tells us about some of the events that bring people through the airport and the grill.
There's a lot of fly-ins across the country, which are events where it's like kind of like a car show, but for airplanes. So we joke here, you know, there's a $100 hamburger on the menu because when you fly here from another place, you're just flying somewhere because you want to go for a flight. So you spend $100 on gas to come eat an $8 cheeseburger and then fly home, right? Yeah. And it's like, that's the thing, you know? That's what you do. And so during the summer when the weather's nice, you get up in the mountains, and people will fly in, have a pancake breakfast, stand around, talk about airplanes, enjoy flying scenic mountains, and fly home. And so this has kind of become a really nice launching point for that kind of stuff, which I think is fantastic.
Nate talks with us about the decor of Tower Grill and trying to incorporate elements from some of the pilots and planes into the restaurant.
The aesthetic is what we kind of, you know, before when you walked in, and this is not a slant against any previous business that's been here, it's just white walls, there was a cork board with a bunch of business cards, random pilot airplane
like
pictures.
Downstairs.
Well, just like downstairs.
Yeah, like downstairs.
Similar to up here, yeah. So we thought, well, what we'll do is take all of the pictures that are on the wall and some of the stuff. Everyone wants to see their own picture on the wall. So like, all the pilots and stuff, they want to come in and see, hey, there's a picture of me and the time we flew to Crouch or whatever with so-and-so. Well, we just scan them in and put them on the TV. So they're just on the slideshow and they rotate. So we've got warbirds and pictures that mean different things to different people. So anytime someone comes in and says, hey, are you going to put my picture on the wall? I'm like, email it to me.
Yeah.
Right up on the just slideshow. There's like 400 pictures. And they
that's
just
good.
Cruise
that's
through good, it from all over the country. They're really, you know, some of them are just general aviation. Some of them are old warbirds. Some of them are Alaska, backcountry planes. And there's pilots that'll just sit here and drink coffee and be like, oh, here comes my picture. I took that picture. You know?
That is funny.
And we throw random stuff on the wall every once in a while if it makes the board. Like those two pictures above the door over there, somebody got those in an estate sale.
Oh, that's
and they're actual
cool.
Antique, you know, really nice cast metal with real enamel. This 4/4 Echo is actual piece of metal off of somebody's airplane that was remodeled. So he didn't know that was up there. So the mechanic that gave me that chunk said, oh, don't tell him. He'll come up and eat. So he walked in and went, that's from my airplane. That's kind of a fun, you know, thing where people can see it.
Good.
You know, yeah. So, and then we have our beer taps over there that are made out of airplane engine cylinders. You see the taps on the counter?
We
actually took
heads
off of the airplane, and ran our beer lines up through them. And I have a buddy that machines those.
Wow, that is cool.
We thank Nate for chatting and then order brunch from our server.
So I think we are going to do the A10 Warthog Burrito.
And then the Spitfire.
Yeah.
Eat until we're stuffed, pay our bill, and say our goodbyes, and then head back to the car to debrief.
So,
I'm satiated.
Both from like a food standpoint, but also a people standpoint.
Yeah.
I would make a trip out here from Boise just to know that the food is that good, the atmosphere is that good, and that I thought Nate was like awesome.
Yeah, he seems like way too young to be running a restaurant, but exactly the type of person who you'd want to bump into who's running a restaurant.
Makes his way around the dining room, talks to people, and just seems to have kind of all the right reasons for doing it.
Yeah, it's weird to think about going to the airport for like a meal and you're not flying anywhere.
But honestly,
but
you might do it enough that,
yeah,
like even though I think that I might be afraid or have some sort of underlying fear of getting into one of those propeller planes, I wonder if I'm here watching it enough that I would be like, okay, somebody take me on a Discovery flight. And we should also note that it was busy in there.
That is one of the busiest places, consistently busy,
yes,
that we've been in. Man, it was full the entire time that we were there. And people would leave, and a whole new group would show up. So,
okay, what do you say we take a break, and then we'll mosey on back to the studio?
I could use a break.
I actually think I know how to get home.
Oh, okay. As the crow flies?
Hey, You Know the Place listeners. If you're into fun, quirky podcasts, and we know you are because, duh, you're listening to this podcast, well, then consider checking out Wanna Know Idaho, another podcast from Boise State Public Radio. It's hosted by reporter Frankie Barnhill, and it's fueled by curiosity from listeners. Yeah, that's you. Just search for Wanna Know Idaho wherever you get your podcasts. Back in the studio.
All right, after a little Nampa road trip.
Do you want to start with a double-decker
espresso? Yeah, let's go in order.
Okay.
Let's do it.
What were your kind of first impressions there?
I would go back in a heartbeat. particularly if they were kind of, if I saw them in a parking lot or something like that, or if I followed them and saw if they were in the area. There's something about it being in a slightly different locale, you know, having something normal like coffee. And it was really good coffee, and it was a really good cinnamon roll. So yeah. I think that's part of it as well. What about you?
I agree. I think that that's what I was thinking, that the chase element is kind of...
The chase, yeah.
You know, it's kind of exciting. The location's always changing, so there is inherently always something new or different about it. In a way that I don't think I would chase a food truck, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know certain food trucks around here that I like, but I'm not arranging my weekend schedule around
it. But that's what's kind of funny about that place, though, right? It splits the difference a little bit because it's a place that you have to chase, but it's also kind of a destination.
Yeah.
Because it has this slightly differentness to it, this unique locale to it, this exoticness to it.
Yeah.
Also, you can always have a cup of coffee, right? It's like, I may not stop somewhere for pulled pork. You know, I'm like, hey, I love that place.
But coffee almost always sounds good and reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to really overdo it.
Right.
Careful of those cinnamon rolls, though. You can overdo it. Those
totally.
Were very good.
All right. Move on to Tower.
Okay. Tower Grill.
Initial impressions.
I love how before we chat with Nate, I'm all like, suspicious, like, yeah, this is kind of, wait, but is this cool? We're in this restaurant and there's these planes, but like, what's cool about that?
Yeah.
But then we get to chatting with Nate and I'm learning all these things that I was not expecting to learn. I guess I just was really unprepared, you know? So we're learning about airports and flying and planes, different kinds of planes. And then all of a sudden it's like I have a change of heart.
One of the things that Nate said that struck me, he said, you don't come here on accident.
So true.
And my initial takeaway from that was like, man, then it is gutsy to operate a business out of there. But if you can successfully turn it into a destination, then people will come and spend money. It seems like he's working really, really hard to make sure it's not just pilots, right? But he says he wants to get away from that because that's not sustainable because I think you're always going to be limping along. You're going to be having, you know, you can probably keep the lights on and keep the grill going, but how much are you really going to be able to keep clientele coming back or new clientele coming in? And it seems like he's done that. So what about you for your central concern?
My central concern being, how does a business like a restaurant survive in an airport that not everyone knows about?
Right.
It's exactly what you're saying. He's trying to create more than just what would be kind of a happenstance dining pilot's lounge. He's trying to create a business which has an atmosphere and has a brand and has a reputation around the food. And again, like everything that we experience there, the decor, I think even just Nate himself going from table to table, chatting with people like, hey, is this your first time in? Mm-hmm. What brought you here? And doing his part in terms of growing the restaurant side. I think being on things like Boise Food Express and Uber Eats means that he is trying to grow the profile of the mm-hmm. food, which is something that will bring people back outside of the experience.
Isn't it kind of funny that we went out to Nampa, and we went to places that I don't think, you know, it was kind of our first real eating and drinking trip, you know, mm-hmm. that we specifically were going on a trip to do that. And that seems pretty straightforward, but both of them were very experiential beyond just eating and drinking, you know? And both places are places that I would seek out, and you kind of have to seek out both of those places. Yeah. On the one hand, Double Decker Espresso, you have to keep track of it, right? Mm-hmm. There's a chase involved, like you said, it's constantly moving. And the other place is a place that's out of the way. You have to make a trip to it, either by road or by air.
So, yeah.
Final impressions? Final takeaways.
Yes. I realized that we talked a lot about airplanes.
We did.
And airports and flying, and maybe not as much about the restaurant or the food, but it is hard to be at that restaurant and not talk about planes or flying, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. I don't know if I've ever experienced a place, especially a dining place, where the theme itself so organically controls or maybe incites some of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can think of back home, there was, God, I forget what the burger joint was called. It might have been a chain even, but I think it was modeled around like a car shop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember going to that place, sitting around a table, eating burgers and talking about getting your oil changed. You know, you weren't like asking your dad like, oh, how does this work? How does it just wasn't, it just became part of, I think, the backdrop, where this place, it is part of the atmosphere, you know, and like you can't help but be curious and ask those questions and point things out.
We're sitting there, and that's just so much the backdrop, and that's what you end up talking about.
Yeah.
It was really entertaining, actually.
I would go back to Nampa to go to the Tower Grill and watch planes land. I can't 100%. Wait to sit out on the patio.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
On to Parma.
I'm not opposed to that.
Okay.
You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. Season 3 is made possible in part by Mid-Century Homes by Monica Real Estate. And if you have a second, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at You Know the Place. Give us a follow.
And ROMs reach out to me from across oblivion, like stone.